Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another Oversharing episode. This is, I guess, our second episode, which I'm really excited about. I was going to say technically episode one because I think I labeled the other one episode zero, but we'll figure that out later. Anyway, today we're going to be talking about the occult. We're going to talk about what the word occult means, and we're going to get into several subjects after that, but they all pretty much have to do with this word and what it could mean to you and me and everybody and to Sharon. And speaking of Sharon, hi, Sharon. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Oh, you know, hanging out next to the tree of life, just loving it, you know.
That's a beautiful tree.
Yeah. Yeah. I like this background. I'm really excited about it. So actually, we can even kind of talk about trees. I think we'll get into that, kind of what trees could mean and symbolize and what all this stuff symbolizes and symbolism in general. And that is really what the occult's all about. So I guess we'll get right into it and just talk about how most people, when you hear the word occult, you know, I would say at the most like basic level, the most metropolitan level, if you asked somebody who would be like a quote unquote normie, if they knew what occult means, they might say they heard it was like something that was evil or whatever, you know, like something that you're not supposed to look into, or it's like evil, dark magic. That's what I found. What was your experience with this word when you first started to encounter it?
Absolutely. It was a very taboo sort of topic. And growing up in church, you know, you would hear about, you know, the occult and witches and witchcraft and spells and casting spells, and people must be under a spell, but not in the way you and I look at that today, but more like if somebody put a spell on somebody and they were acting in a way that was not like a normal person. Maybe acting out, maybe being, quote, demon possessed, shall we say. And that's funny because that's a topic that we're probably going to talk about today, is just the idea of what are demons and what can demons be. But yeah, this whole concept was very taboo in the sense of don't look into it because you're going to get yourself demon possessed if you do. And yes, there were concepts of like, don't mess with the Ouija board. Don't go get your cards read. Don't go to a palm reader. Don't, like, all these sorts of topics. And we can totally talk about all those things.
Yeah, I'm excited. I wanted to bring that up just to start basically from the beginning, just like a tree, start at the seed, right? And then you bring into the roots. And that's kind of what I remember when I was at a Christian bookstore, maybe when I was like in about fourth or fifth grade, maybe sixth grade, something like that. Anyway, I was in there with my mom and we were attending this born again Christian church regularly. And so we were in there looking for some nice Christian books. And there was a book in there about the occult. And I think it was saying something about how it was evil and all this stuff. And I remember asking my friend, Moe was my mom's friend. He's an adult, you know, and I was asking him about it. And he was the one who talked about that stuff and just say it's evil and like white magic and black magic and all stuff. You should never look into it. It's all like of the devil. That's what they would say. So that was my experience with that word. And then I kind of became more, I guess would say, like an atheist for a while, or like an agnostic. I was just like, I don't know what I believe. I realized that some of the stories I was told were some lies, you know, so I didn't really care about it. But when I came back into it, I was looking into symbolism. I was looking into the tarot and I came across this word occult, and I found that it means hidden. So there's this next level now where a lot of people understand that the word occult means hidden. So like me and like you, like we talked about, I found that this word hidden, you know, I was thinking of it as there's this knowledge that's hidden from the regular folks like us, and dark evil entities or people have it, or maybe they don't have to be evil, whatever, you know, people in government or people in positions of power have this knowledge, and it's just this way of doing things in the world. So it wasn't really anything that was quite magic in the sense you think of Hollywood. So it's not like they were doing spells like that, like you'd see in Harry Potter or whatever, but it was more of way to align your thoughts and emotions to create action in the world. And that creation of action makes things in the world. And that's the magic that they speak of. And that's what the occult's talking about. And the level that I got into it, and a lot of people, if they're like coming into it from the truther angle or all this angle of like discovering new knowledge online, they, or I'll just say in my case again, I felt like there was all this knowledge being hidden and I felt like a victim. And I'm like, how dare these people hide this stuff? This could help humanity if it was just well known. And I actually went about talking about it. I wrote some articles and made some videos and stuff. And I would tell my friends about this stuff. And I seen that not everybody was really interested in it at all. You know, maybe a few people were interested in it. You know, so I was just like, okay, but I still was like, there's this knowledge that they're hiding from us. Now, did you come across that as well? Is that kind of how you came into the next level of your understanding of this word occult?
I think the word occult started to become more, I started to become more aware of the occult type of things in the last several years when I encountered a different when I encountered what people term right now the flat earth and the concept of just a different cosmology. And then I started to hear a lot of, just from videos that I was watching and things, a lot of perspectives from people saying that, oh, this was hidden from us. And these dark occultists, or these, I don't even know if that's the words they were saying, but like these people, the Illuminati, or, you know, the Freemasons or the occultists, they're hiding this from us. And that's probably when I started encountering it a lot more. But I think prior to, because that was back in 2017, prior to that, I had heard of these concepts of Freemasonry and the Illuminati, but I hadn't really looked into them. But what you mentioned about people not really being interested in it, it reminds me of Mark Passio, because he talks about how he has tried to tell people, and he's tried to do all these seminars and teach people about all these things. And he's just very surprised and very, he's frustrated, I think. And he shows his frustration that people don't want to know about this. And I think it's kind of funny a little bit that he gets so frustrated, because, you know, in some ways I feel kind of bad for him, because he really just, you know, whoever's going to see it is going to see it. And if people don't want to see it, they just don't want to see it. You can't woke rape somebody, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I hear you.
They're just going to see when they want to see it and when they're ready to see it.
I think a lot of people are starting to realize that. And that's where we're starting to get like a split in a division in people, because, you know, in the beginning of a lot of this division, there was people on one side or the other, and there's a lot of people in the middle, or there's a few of us anyway, that were trying to like, be like, hey guys. And now it's more, you know, we were like, hey guys, what you're arguing about is pretty much, you're on the same side. You just don't realize it, you know, stuff like this. And it just wasn't getting the traction that it should have, I think. Well, it just wasn't getting the traction that I thought that it would, you know, I'll just say that. But I think a lot of people are starting to realize that now and get it. And I feel that that's might be one of the reasons why Mark isn't producing as much live stuff. I don't want to speak for him. I don't know. I know he does have that Teaching Natural Law documentary that's either out or out soon. So I'm really excited about that.
Oh, that's right. I don't think it's out yet.
Yeah. It's either going to be out soon, or it's like, yeah. So I'm really excited. I just got something about it, but I've been super busy myself. But what was I going to say? So to bring it back to what you were saying, so it's like hidden, right? So we're like, well, who is this stuff hidden from, and why is it hidden, and how is it hidden? And again, to go back to what we were talking about, when we encounter our friends or other people and we're telling about this information, their eyes seem to glaze over, right? And then so after a while, like what you're saying with the woke rape thing, you can't really, once you start to realize you can't really wake people up, they have to come to an understanding of the world on their own to really grasp this. Unless they're, you know, people can directly ask you questions and stuff. That's really not what this is about. This is more about people just not ready to face things in their own life. And so because of that, these little lies that they might be telling themselves, they don't want to see bigger lies that are around them. Because this little lie, even if you wanted to try to wake somebody up to whatever was going on, that is a little piece. It's like a cornerstone in this giant, I guess we could say tower, because we talk about the tarot a lot. It's like a piece of the tower that the whole thing would crumble. So, and again, these aren't judgments, because we've all been there, and I'm probably still there right now about something right now that I just can't see or do see and don't care to work on or whatever. But yeah. So when you start to realize that people, like I said, you just can't woke rape people. If you keep going on that thought process, you start to realize that it's like, oh, this stuff is hidden. All this knowledge of how to align your thoughts and emotions to create action, how to master your brain instead of being a slave to it, where you're, you know, there's this saying that the brain makes a great master. I'm sorry, a terrible master, but a great servant. And when you start to realize this, these concepts, and like I said, you integrate them in your life and your life gets better, and you try to tell people about it, they don't want to hear it. You start to realize that it's all this stuff is just being hidden from the people who don't want to see it. You know, it's really hidden from them by them. There's really nobody, quote unquote, hiding this information in this age, maybe other ages, but right now, especially with the internet, all the stuff that's available, it's kind of like people are blinding themselves with whatever stuff that they want to do. And it's mostly, we call it escapism. And again, these sound like harsh judgments, but we're just all, well, I'm just coming off a life of doing it all myself. So that's how I could speak so frankly on it. Yeah. So that's how I started to get the understanding of the next level of the word occult. And it started to sink in. And I know we had a conversation about this. So how do you feel about that? And what was your understanding, and how did it start to change on this word when you started to realize that?
Well, I wouldn't say I'm at the point where you are exactly yet. I mean, I do see a lot of the people do things to themselves. Like they hide stuff from themselves so that they don't have to deal with it. And I do see that, but could it be that there are, and I'm just throwing it out there, could it be that there are active entities or whatever you will, that not that they're trying to hide it from us, but that they don't want us to know truth. So even though they still somehow have to tell us the truth, like the whole hidden in plain sight concept, but they really, it's almost like the TV programs people to not see it. And so when they, you okay over there?
Oh,
so
yeah.
So when they do see it, they're triggered to not pay attention to it, or to just think it's just normal or whatever. Just kind of like what we're seeing today, which is like, oh, you know, the government loves you and they're trying to protect you, and so they're going to tell you exactly what to do.
How dare you, Sharon? No, I know exactly what you're talking about. And I'm glad that you brought this up, because I feel that, yeah. Okay. So if you're going to say, is there a group of people who benefit on people in society who we would, you know, that are just living their daily lives, working, paying taxes, you know, vote and all that stuff. Or is there a shadow entity behind the scenes that's controlling everything? Well, that's really an interesting question, right? And I think that's, I'm glad you brought that up, because I did want to talk about that for sure. And the short of it is, I'd have to break it down, right? So is there a shadow entity behind the scenes? Okay, sure. I think there could be. I don't want to make claims, and I can only I really only like to talk about what I can prove. But yeah, I'll entertain that idea. I think there's some evidence of that. You could definitely find evidence of it, especially if you go into the past. That's where I came in contact with a lot of the stuff. I was looking into history, whatever that is, right? Like whatever story we're told. But I was looking into the history of the founding of this country and the founding of South Africa and Israel and all this stuff. And it just seems that there's always this common thread behind the scenes. And a lot of stuff was written by these people who founded these countries about how they want to control people and maintain, and, you know, how they're going to maintain this higher class of people and the superiority of people who like control. And in the future, they want to be the controllers. They want to have the whole society autonomous, and it'll be, you know, or an autonom society. I don't know if I used that word correctly, but you get it, you know, like a 1984 scenario, Brave New World, all this stuff. So, and could we be headed there, or are we there? I think, yeah, that's, see, the things we talk about, it's just like the word occult. All this stuff could be true on certain levels. And I'm not saying like I'm some person who doesn't believe like in a truth. But what I mean is it's just from a different perspective. So yeah, there could be people behind the scenes. I'm not doubting that. But then we move into the next part of your question, or the question that I stuffed into your mouth, which is, are they controlling everything? Are they controlling everybody? Are they actively making everything happen that happens? That's a really complicated thing to say. Now, they could be spending a lot of power, money, and influence to influence what's going on. They could create certain things that happen. You know, we talk about events that you see on the news, you know, and things happen, terrorist attacks, people will say, wow, that, I don't know if that was real. I think the government was behind it. I think someone else was behind these things. That could also be true, and that they could, people could be controlling these things that happen. But then you say, well, are they controlling everything? Are they controlling society in the way they act? And that's where I have to like stop and say that I don't think anybody is controlling any actions that any one person does. So if you have to break it down, a whole society is just a group of individuals. Now, is there one person making everybody do something, or most people do something so they go that way? I don't think so. I think people make decisions based on their circumstances in life and free life and how they view the world. So if they have a worldview that's different than yours, they could be making these choices that you don't agree with. And you're like, oh my God, they're under control of somebody. It's like, no, they're still at the end of the day making these choices. So I feel that what's going on really is, okay, these people could still be slaves, but who are they really a slave to? Are they a slave to an external master, or are they just a slave to their own desires? Like we were talking about, a lot of people don't want to look into this occult stuff. They would rather just engage in escapism. And escapism is basically just a way to get all your sense pleasures taken care of, to satisfy your sense pleasures, right? And again, these aren't judgments. I just keep having to say that. So what are you doing, right? And why are you doing it? That's what I'm saying. So if you're a person who's going along, just like I was a few years ago, a lot worse, right? Going along, just doing this thing. I didn't care about mostly what was going on externally in my life. I was giving that responsibility away to another president if I voted to him, you know, to a mayor or whatever. I was abdicating my authority and my responsibility to somebody externally, because I just wanted to go around and, you know, engage in escapism. And I was like, oh, you know, Bill Clinton will take care of it or whatever, you know?
Right.
So that's where I have the thing. So I'll let you chime in, because I heard you make a noise like you wanted to say something. So I was like, yeah, I want to hear this.
Well, there was just a point where you were talking about how people will make their choices. Like, let's say they're watching TV and then the media tells them such and such is going on. Everyone's being directed to do XYZ. So everybody go XYZ. And then they're out of fear because that's the message that's being pushed out. They just do without even thinking about the consequences. But again, because they are not, it's like you said, it's escapism. They want someone else to tell them what to do so they don't have to think for themselves. So they're allowing this control, this mind control to happen. Even though you said it's not really like true mind control, but in the sense of like, they're not really being controlled. They're still choosing to act in that way. And what it really boils down to probably is the action of not thinking, just blindly following without thinking. And like you can look at it this way, for example, too. Like, let's say, okay, this is what I do because, and I try to do this because otherwise I'll forget if I did it or not, right? So I'm leaving the house and I pull out onto my driveway and I hit the garage button. And I always reverse back into my garage. So I'm pulling out, it's behind me. So I look in my rear view, make sure that it's shut before I leave. But if you're just on autopilot and you are not paying attention, and yeah, you probably did hit the button, but like halfway down the street, you're like, did I hit the button? And you don't remember looking at the garage door to see if it was shut. So you're just on autopilot. You're just letting yourself do these things without thinking. So when you actively think about what you're doing, you're actually participating in the present moment and you're making sure that you're doing the things that you needed to do so that you don't later on, you don't have to come back around your neighborhood and walk, you know, drive in front of your house again, or shall I say travel in front of your house again, to make sure that you closed your garage, because I have had to do that before. If I say to myself, shoot, I don't remember looking at the garage door before, but every time I come back, it's always closed. I've never had a moment where, I don't think I've ever had a moment where I come back and it's open.
You want to hear a funny story?
What?
This is great that you bring this up. So a couple of weeks ago, I was at my DJ company and we have a building with a garage door and you can actually pull the vans in. It's a pretty nice building that the owner was able to purchase because we're such a good DJ company. Shout out to lightscameradjs.com. Anyway, so I was going to stand, but I can't stand for it. So I was there. There's a couple of people setting up and I want to bring this up because, you know, I'm making a lot of judgments here. It could seem about escapism and stuff. So I just want to show you guys, listen, I'm not perfect. So I get very easily, like if it was my job to show up to the place and load the van and do everything by myself, it would be a lot harder work, but mentally it would be a breeze because I get very easily distracted. I have this mental process and then I'm always thinking of like how I'm going to put things in a van and take them out when I get there, whatever it's going on. So other people, and you know, before a gig, sometimes when you're performing, there's a lot of nerves, you know, especially when you're, I don't know, not a lot for me as much, but for other people. So they'll get jittery and ask questions and stuff. So when I'm like setting up, anyway, so that's the stage I'm setting. And there's a few jobs going out. I was the last one to leave. And as I'm leaving, the garage door is open. I'm like, all right, I got to shut the garage door. I'm like, I had to get a couple things out of my car. So I got things out of the car. Someone called me and I just left or something. I don't remember. I left and I'm driving and I'm like, so then about half hour into the drive, it was like an hour something drive, right? The owner calls me about something and immediately I'm like, oh shit, I didn't shut the door. Like there wasn't a question. It was like, oh no. I was like, dude. So he had to call his wife and she had to run down and shut the door. I left the door wide open, thousands of dollars of DJ equipment, allegedly. he has a really good security system with cameras and stuff. So anyway, but you know, it was just hilarious. And so I'm funny that you bring up that story. And just like that. So what was I doing? I was evacuating my cockpit in the moment. That's something that that guy, James True, talks about, right? Author James True talks about how you evacuate your cockpit in these situations where, you know, and because it was me, I was just thinking of other things and I was somewhere else. But when you talk about escapism, it's the same thing. You're pretty much, you go somewhere else. So you just want to get what you want to do. And then you have, it's like another entity comes into your body. See where I'm going with this, Sharon? You know, it's kind of like something else takes over, and you could see it. Anybody that's listening to this, think about when you're somewhere and people are drinking and you're not, if you've ever been this sober, or say you were as drunk, or you know somebody that as soon as they drink, it's like a switch goes off and they're another person. They're like, it's like, what's going on here? Right. So that's what we're talking about. It doesn't always take a drink to do that. You could just do that because you, whatever reason, right? So that's what happens. It's like this other entity takes over. Have you ever heard of this, Sharon?
I think I know where you're going with it. Do you, you maybe forget my train of thought.
Oh, my bad. What were you going
to? I don't remember. So this whole, I remember now. I think I was going to ask you, like, is that part of like not participating in the present moment? Is that?
Yeah. That's a big part of it. That's right? One. This is what I'll say. And it's going to sound like faggy and, oh, he's so smart. Let me get my reading glasses. Words, Sharon, are just a way to describe things. And when you say, I want to be in the present moment, it means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. And that's a lot of it. Yes. When you are in the present moment, I'll give you a good example. When I was doing, you know, I talk about this a lot in my book at shadowwork.com. You can go get my book. I had to overcome some severe intimacy issues in my life. And I was sleeping with women and, but I wasn't really doing it in, excuse me. So I'm getting choked up a malicious way. But I would just let them know, you know, I would say, listen, I don't want a relationship. It's just, I can't, whatever. So, you know, I was upfront, but I got to a point, and this is funny because it involved a lot of like, I was like smoking some weed at the time, and it kind of was like putting me more in the present moment because I was meditating as well. So that's why I don't just like recommend people like, oh, you smoke, somebody actually was asking me, I'm going on a tangent, but it's all right. People love it. We're oversharing here. This is what we do.
We always do that.
I work with this guy, recently, allegedly younger gentleman, and he's never partake. I don't think he's even drinking alcohol before, really. And he's just asking me all about the different experiences and what I think. And I said, listen, man, you know this. I was like, well, when you're drunk, this is what it's like. Your inhibitions, you kind of this, and then the weed. And I kind of was explaining, but I said, listen, you could achieve all these states of consciousness allegedly through meditation. Could it be? Try that, or just try. And what I told him was, because he said he has a lot of anxiety or like problems with stuff like that. And I said, the mind, like I said earlier, can be a terrible master, but a great servant. So if you could learn to be more in the present moment like that stuff, it'll help you, you know. And now I'm not saying anything bad, obviously, about marijuana or anything, but it just depends on your relationship with it and stuff, because it could spiral you out in different areas. And I found with this, a lot of this meditation and being in the present moment, you know, I've even done other psychedelics and stuff, and it's allowed me to stay at the center of the circle because I know what's going on. So no matter what I see, I'm just like, okay, like I get these feelings. Even now, sometimes I'll be like, oh, and I'm like, why am I feeling? Oh, because I'm listening to this depressing song. I didn't realize that came on. I'm like, I just got to put on a different song, and I snap myself out of it. And that's a lot about what meditation is. You're just in the present moment and you start to get these feelings and like despair. And then you're like, wait, what? Why did I feel this way? And then you look around, you're like, look, it's a nice day. There's a tree of life behind me. It's sunny out. It's summer. Why am I feeling like this? You know? So it's just all about that little baby steps. That's that tangent where that went. That's what I said to that nice young gentleman. And what was the other tangent that I was on?
Well, let me just say this.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's on that tangent. That could it be that, and I can't remember if we talked about this before, but could it be that, they say our bodies produce DMT on their own. So could it be that when we put ourselves in such a state, we don't need the exterior DMT process or device or substance to activate the DMT, but we can produce it ourselves, perhaps through things like meditation. And then that itself can bring us into more awareness.
Yeah. And while we're over sharing, I've heard you can also get there through near-death experience. There's people that think that's what DMT is all about. You get like a dump. Have you ever had have you ever had something happen to you where you thought you were going to die and your life started flashing between your in between your eyes? I say that. We'll talk about this later. But that 3D thing, I've done it and it's awesome. I got it right away. But anyway, we'll talk about that later. But have you ever done anything where the where your life has started to flash before your eyes, like you almost get hit by a car or something?
You know, to be honest with you, that's the funny part. Like I blogged about this, but I'd never had any sort of like any sort of experience where I've either seen demons or angels or ghosts or paranormal activity or even felt any, like never anything like that.
Well, this is more like, not to cut you off, because that's what I'm doing. This is more what I mean. Please. This could be still considered not in the realm of paranormal, because it's like memories flashing back. That's what I mean. Have you ever had that happen? Then you had like memories flashback?
I don't think I have, even though I feel like I have experienced what I have felt as the closest thing to like, I think I'm going to die right now. And that's because I used to have this, what is called a laryngospasm. I don't know if you've ever heard of those. But essentially your voice box like clamps down it. So like your voice box is like, it's like this. And then when you're talking, you know, it's doing this, right? So like when, for example, when somebody would say like, oh, it went down the wrong pipe, and then they cough a little bit, and then they, you know, take a few seconds and drink some water, whatever, and then they're okay. Well, that would not happen to me. What would happen to me is that my voice box would actually just like close, and there was only a tiny little space. So like I would be breathing through, like if I was going to try to breathe, I would just be like, because I couldn't breathe. My vocal folds had closed, and that it would stay and hold for like seconds, for many seconds, like 20, I don't know how long. So you're kind of like, could I just pass out and just die right here? Like, I don't know, but never. Then that happened to me multiple times. And my lifestyle change in 2011 and forward, I think really helped change that, because I think I had one in 2018. That was actually the worst one I've ever had. But after that, never had anything like that again. But when you're at that moment and that's happening, you can't breathe. So I'd have to tell myself, look, just pretend you're holding your breath anyway, just hold it, wait. And then I would test and then try to breathe. Nope, can't breathe yet. Okay, just hold a little bit longer. Just hold your breath. So eventually I would be able to breathe a little bit, and then slowly take some breath in and then breathe out a little bit, breathe in again, until I was able to fully breathe again. But it was a very scary experience.
You know, that really is like a meditative experience. So like it puts you in the present moment so much, because you have to focus on it, but you have to relax yourself. There's nothing else you're worried about. You ain't worried about the fucking bills.
Dude, I didn't. And you know, the funniest part is I was like, at the time I was going to church and I was like Christian. And the weird part is like, I never thought to myself to cry out to Jesus or anything. Like I was just like, I know what I have to do. I have to pretend like I'm holding my breath, and I just have to wait until I can breathe again. And if I don't breathe again, I don't, and I'm just going to pass out and we'll see what happens. Wow. And that's it. You know, you're definitely in the present moment.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to say that's you know, that's because you're a legend, Sharon. You could rely on yourself like that in that moment. That's great. See that a lot of people would panic. And, you know, that's when situations happen.
You can't in those situations.
Well, you can, but you definitely shouldn't.
Yeah.
So I'll say that that's got to be really close. So I can empathize with that. But I've been in a couple of situations where, and one specifically comes to mind. I've been in a couple of near-death situations, like, you know, my arm put through a window. That was kind of close with my losing blood. And then getting swept out into the ocean, I got talked about that. But one other time I didn't really talk about is, I was on my motorcycle and I was flying down this really straight road and we're going like 80 something miles an hour. And it was probably a road we should have been doing 40 on, whatever, you know, but it was a nice summer day. And I'm going, my friend's behind me and there's a truck coming toward me, you know, like we're both going, whatever. And he was, I don't know, half a mile ahead of me, but I was flying, maybe even doing faster. And he starts to take a left, which would have put him right in front of me. So I'm going, you're right. And he starts to, and I mean, it was probably closer than half a mile. And I don't think he realized, he either didn't see us or realize how fast we were going. So if he continued in his trajectory, the only thing I could have really done was like go left, but there was a car behind him. So I would have had to, so I maybe could have pulled it off, but it was adrenaline started to come, right? So as this happened, I start to create scenarios because my brain works really fast. And I just start to like see my life like flash before my eyes, like just different memories and all this stuff. And then at the last second, the guy realized it and just went right again and straight. And I was like, all I can feel is my heart. My friend pulls up next to me. And my friend's one of these people who like is like cool, Mr. Fucking, you know, like never. And he was like white as a ghost. So when I saw that, it was like a validation. Cause at first I was like, maybe it wasn't as close as I thought. And he was behind it, had a front row seat. And he was like, dude, I thought you were done. He's like, he's like, I didn't know. He's like, that was crazy. And yeah, so that's one of those situations where, and I feel like that's what was probably happening. You get like this DMT, whatever dump. But again, I've heard of people being able to attain these states of consciousness through meditation. So, you know, do whatever works for you. I would say that's what this is all about. Because if you say, oh, this is what I heard and this is what I heard you should do, and you just do it, it's more about what you want to do and getting to know yourself. And in my own situation, it was like a beautiful experience of getting to know myself and doing things. I've tried several things like microdosing things and all this stuff allegedly. And I just went at my own pace and I just stayed comfortable with it. And, you know, it was a real awakening. But the meditation, again, was the key. That's like, it's like the lost key behind all this other stuff, you know, weed, drugs, all this stuff, alcohol, all this stuff you can do. And it would just be escapism also.
Exactly. But if you're
focused in the present moment, it could actually be an enhancer. You know, it could still be abused, but you know, I'm not trying to, but yeah. And that's what I'm talking about. It's about that enhancement. Are you in the present moment? Are you enhancing your life? Or are you just trying to get away and escape and dream all day, which I'm definitely have been guilty of. So there it is. We overshored, shorn. Anyway, Sharon, back to you.
Okay. So was there something else that you were saying after you met that young guy? Was there anything left?
I did circle back with that because you put me back on track. Yeah, and it was just to say, what I said about that other story about like your life flashing before your eyes. And I think there was something else, but that's probably what going to lead into the next thing. It's really just about evacuation. So I was talking really about before when you evacuate your cockpit, the way that guy James True puts it, which is really good analogy for me because I used to work on airplanes in the Marine Corps. Yeah, guys, I'm like the Forrest Gump. I've fucking done it all. Sometimes when I'm telling stories, I feel like I'm lying. It's so weird. I'm like, I feel like I'm like, I put myself in the other person's head and I'm like, they got to be like thinking I'm lying about this shit. Like, or not. I don't know. It's not when I tell one story. It's if I'm with someone for a while and they keep asking me and I keep telling them these stories, like by the 10th story, I'm like, they got to be thinking I'm making this shit up. Like, anyway. So, yeah, that's why we're oversharing. Yeah. So the evacuation thing, I think it's been put a different way and it's been put away like a demon possession, right? We'll just jump right into it. So the next thing we want to talk about in this show is, what are demons? And I want to bring it up and bring us into this because I was just watching this movie last night that I couldn't find anywhere illegally, allegedly. So I finally just broke down and rented it for $2.99. It's a movie from 1998, which is a really significant year in my life because it's the year that I left the Marine Corps. And I remember watching this movie over and over again. It's called Fallen. It has Denzel Washington and John Goodman in it. And the big Sutherland, the older Sutherland guy, whatever. Donald Sutherland, the dad, I think, is or whatever, but that guy. And it is a really, really good movie. It's about demon possession. It's about this demon named Azazel who can, by touch, he can only exist inside humans, right? Well, I don't want to give anything else away, but he can only exist inside people, basically, and by touch. So he could touch people and he moves into them and then he just takes control. And then when he gets out, the person, it's like a fog and they don't know what's going on. So as I was rewatching this last night, and I didn't watch the end because the movie gets really, really dark, spoiler alert. So if you know, and I was like, I know where it's going. I've seen it a million times. I'll just watch it later, you know? And then I want to overshare some more. As I was walking upstairs, I started to get freaked out because back in the day I would get a little scared, you know, about this stuff. Cause I would think about demons and paranormal stuff. I'm like, wow, could I get possessed? Is it possible? So I started to get like a little freaked out. And then I just started laughing and I'm like, dude, if I ever did meet Azazel, I would probably be like, bro, what's it like? I'd be like podcasting with him. I'd be like interviewing him. Because what I saw in the movie, right? Not to really give anything away, but I guess I'm gonna, but the movie's from 98, whatever.
Who cares?
It's what I kept seeing was, Denzel Washington plays this police officer who busts this serial killer, right? And then spoiler alert, you find out the serial killer was really just Azazel taking this guy over, making him do all this stuff. So when they kill him, he just goes into another guy, waits a little while, then starts fucking with Denzel Washington. All these murders start happening. He starts calling him. And then what you find out is they start to frame Denzel for all the shit, right? So what I see is when he actually talks to him, there's this brilliant scene. It's one of my favorite movie scenes ever where Denzel is in the police station and this guy comes up to him and starts fucking with him. And he's like, what the? It's like another cop. And then he starts asking these questions and it gets really weird. And then he starts singing the song by Rolling Stones. Time is on my side. Yes, it is. Because he's a demon and he's been around forever, right? And he's like, what? And then he touches another cop. And then that cop starts singing it. And then another one does. And he follows him out. So at this point in the movie, Denzel has already found some evidence of this demon and has learned a little bit about it. He found these books. And it's crazy too. There's another insane synchronicity because there's this picture that I saw when I was following Michael Tesserion's work. And I think you're familiar with it. It's the one where there's a demon and he's holding a book and there's like a Pope and he's reading out of the book. And there's this demon who has like a butt on his face on his butt. Basically, it's really, really crazy. I'll try to find a picture and throw it in here. And, or I could look it up while you're talking. And, so 2 seconds before he starts looking at these pictures, I was like, oh shit, that's why that picture always looked familiar to me. It's in this movie. Cause I watched that movie in 98, you know, and I watched Tesserion in 2018. So, but they only show the part with the demon. They don't show him holding the book where the Pope's reading out of it. I was like, but anyway, so what I find anyway, so he has a little bit of knowledge of it. But he's still in disbelief. He's like, what? You know, so he runs out, follows this thing. And then he's on the sidewalk. And everybody walking by, the demon just keeps touching. He's like on the sidewalk in New York City and they keep looking at him and staring at him. He's freaked out. And then finally he has this one lady start talking to him and then the other guy. And he's just like, you know, whatever. And then what you see throughout the movie is Denzel's like, I'm going to beat this guy. Right. You know, I'm going to defeat this demon. And I'm thinking to myself, like, your flaw is just let him do his thing, man. He's a fucking demon. Who are you to think that you're going to slay a thing that's been around since eternity? Like the only reason it's fucking with you, and so many people basically throughout the movie, now back then I didn't get it, right? Now I see so many people throughout the movie are just like, dude, let it go. Like, just let it go. But you know, and I think that would have been the key for him is if he just stopped fucking with the entity, just let it do its thing. Cause either way, it's going to kill things or do his thing. And you're just going to wrap your life up with it. You know, that's kind of what I got a message out of that story, a little oversharing on my end, but it was really eye-opening. So it's like, sometimes you have to step up and be the hero. But then it's like, is your whole life together though? Like, are you over here trying to attack this demon that's in somebody else? Right? Because that demon couldn't enter him. That's the part of the movie I didn't tell you. So what happened is the demon couldn't enter Denzel Washington for whatever reason. He was like a good person. There's certain people that are good people, right? There's another key to this movie I wasn't talking about. So the demon can't enter him directly. Now he could, if somebody, the host, say the demon was in you and you died or whatever. Sorry, Sharon. And I just killed you on my show, on our show. See, look, I'm already taking over. And so the demon could like come out into spirit form and then enter anybody. Nobody could resist him. So after the execution, he could have entered Denzel, but he decided to toy with him. So Denzel could have just went on his way and never would have had to worry about this demon ever again. But he chose to go after him and to fight him. But again, the demon was in everyone else. So it's like he's pointing out. So if you look at his allegory, it's like he's going after everyone else and that demon and everyone else when he isn't right within himself. It's like, why are you trying to kill this demon? Like, there's other things, aspects of yourself that you have to maybe address. Like they talk about a failed marriage in this, you know, there's all this other stuff. So it's crazy when you look at it from another angle. And to bring it back to what I know you want to talk about is demon possession. So is demon possession real, Sharon?
Well, that's not it's not exactly demon possession, but yeah, that's an aspect of what I wanted to talk about. Because I have heard many stories from many different people talking about how they've had encounters since they were young with entities, whether demonic or maybe even angelic, but mostly you hear about demonic entities that people encounter, and whether it is via like sleep hypnosis or what is that called when sleep paralysis, when they're having a dream or whatever it is you want to call it, a hallucination, whatever it is, and they're seeing these spirits or these demons that are trying to like choke them or mess with them or hurt them, and it's almost like they're awake, but they're able to see these things, these entities. And they could be very young too. They could be small children and having these encounters. So my question is, you know, what are these things if they are, so many people encounter them. And I can't relate myself. I cannot relate because it's never happened to me. None of that has ever happened to me. So all I can go by is stories from other people. And I would like to maybe speculate on what those things could possibly be. Now, having said that, I have speculated on this concept of the devil and Satan, whatnot, right? And I just think to myself, could it be that this concept of the devil or Satan or whatever you want to call that entity, because a lot of people have given him names, other names like Azazel and all these other things, because there's lots of biblical texts and extra biblical texts that name certain demons. But then I think to myself, well, why does he have 12,000 different names? Could it be that he doesn't really exist and everybody's just giving one entity all this credit for being so evil? Huh?
I said, careful, Sharon.
am I over Sharon? No, I'm overstepping my boundaries.
I just don't want you to tempt any, you know, entities. No, I'm just kidding.
No. But I think to myself, could it be that this particular alleged Satan or devil is just a construct made to allow people to have this victim mentality? And that's why you have so many people say things like the devil made me do it, or you know, or they're possessed by a demon. That's why they killed 5,000 people or whatever. That's why they influenced all these people to kill 5,000 people. That's why they're a serial killer, or that's why they're a child rapist, or that's why this, that's why that. It's like a victim mentality. And it's more excuse for like, well, I didn't do it. The devil made me do it. Right. And I go back to some of the lectures, or shall I say, sermons preached by Bill Donahue. When he talks about there's only one power, and you can, he's like, if I were to mess with electricity, I'd burn the whole house down. He's like, but when someone who knows how to use the power, he's like, lights turn on, the AC is functioning, everything is working. So he's like, it's about misuse or correct use of the power. He's like, there's only one power. So could it be that there is only God and its power, and it's the power within you? And if you misuse it, that's when you see, or potentially if you misuse it, or maybe people surrounding you misuse it, and that's why you encounter entities surrounding you. It could be past life stuff related. If you were in one of your past lives, you had something going on that never left you. So now you're, you know, even as a child, you encounter these entities. Maybe they're there to warn you or to scare you, to get you to look into something. Who knows? So that's kind of where I'm at. I don't really know what to think about demons or demon possession, but these are the things I've speculated.
Yeah. Well, I like what you said there. And I could say that, you know, if you don't want to be in this realm is a magical place in the fact that, you know, you could come up with a thought. It's in your brain. And, you know, it starts really as an emotion, they say, you know, like you have this feeling, something in the world, you know, that's what I wanted to say. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. When you're like, when I think to myself, and I was like, when I think to myself, you know, if you don't want to exist in this plane, in this world of creation, there could be other entities out there that will say, fine, hey, if you don't want to exist, you know, I'll surely come take your body over and let it happen and do what I want. I'll put it this way. If there's desires that you have that are unsatisfied and they're lingering desires and you don't want to go ahead and do that action, so you engage in escapism, there could be another entity that will come into that cockpit and then allow you to engage in that action or give you the validation that it's okay or whatever, you know? So, and then you're going to say, well, was that a demon? What is that? And I love how you said like 12,000, but it's only one. And you're right. And other people are right when they say there's so many more that they name in the Bible, that there's all these demons, because feel there's several different ways to look at this. One way we can look at this is that there, if we're talking about different planes of existence that people talk about, and, you know, different dimensions or whatever that these creatures might come from, you know, like people say like Anunnaki and like aliens and gray aliens and stuff. I think that there could be other places that are inhabited by these beings or whatever. And in this realm, we're not able to see them physically. I'm not sure exactly how they are. They could be surrounding us right now, but they could, quote unquote, possess us or enter our consciousness and our body like that when we allow them to, when we kind of just get bored with life and we don't have any meaning or anything, or there's, you know, there's nothing that's getting us up and out of bed in the morning. that really gives us a drive, that motivation that we want to do, you know? And it goes back to what I said, if you don't want to exist in this realm, something else will take your place because this place is a magical place. It's going to be dark or white magic or whatever. So, to put it into terms that are more like I say, down to earth, it's kind of like, I look at it as all internal. So I don't think, I'm not afraid, like I said, of this Azazel or any demon coming to get me, because I know my purpose, I guess, here so far, whatever it seems to be, could it be, or I have a way to get out of bed every morning. I'm excited because I get to do these shows and record things. And then I also get to like DJ fun weddings on the weekend and have a good time. So, you know, I'm doing all these things to support myself in the world, and it's fun. And not that you always have to find something fun, but I'm just saying right now, it's like a fun adventure. I mean, it's not always fun, you know, like I was editing a video all morning and that was a real pain in the butt, but it was still fun to do it and watch myself and all that stuff. So, yeah, no, I'm kind of oversharing here. I'm oversharing. But what I wanted to, the real point of what I'm trying to say is that internally, if you're not, like I said, aligning your thoughts and emotions to create action, I keep going back to this. You're in a state of like anxiety because you're doing something, but you want to be doing something else. So your thoughts are telling you one thing and your actions are doing another. It could lead you to a lot of despair and anxiety. And to distract yourself from this, if you have a job or whatever that you don't like to do and you're doing it 8 hours a day, you might then go out drinking that night to do all this other stuff. And as you're doing it, a demon possesses you. Where does this demon come from though? I feel it comes from like a vibrational level. And again, to bring it back to what we were saying before, these are just words. It's just a way to describe it. So other people put it in different terms when they say it's a demon that comes into you. Yeah, they're right. The way I'm going to say it is how it happens. Like you said, like it hasn't happened to me. Well, some people can get to a certain vibrational level because of their thoughts, because of past experiences that happen. I could tell you something that happened to me over Sharon. When I was a child, I had some very inappropriate things happen to me. I'll just leave it at that. And just because I don't want people to be like victimized, like, oh my God, poor Brandon. I've talked about this before, you know, and when it was happening though, I kind of like created this other world and went to another place. And it was like a splitting of consciousness, right? So I had this other place that I can go, or personality or whatever. And it was like a way to escape what was going on instead of exactly face it. And it wasn't anything that was like super traumatic. Anyone I want, I mean, it, you know, could be considered that, but I don't want anyone to think it was like violent or whatever. So, but still I had this other place that I went, and then that's still the place where I would go in the future when I wanted to engage in escapism. And I was like doing all these other things that wouldn't seem, you know, like a, say like a drug addict who was, when he had to acquire his drugs, he'd do shady things sometimes maybe. And that's when, you know, I talked to a friend years ago on a podcast. He was a heroin addict for like a year, a couple of years, and now he's clean and he's doing comedy. And he would talk about how he was like super conscious and aware of everything he was doing as he was doing it. But it's kind of like he just went to another place, but he still felt like a piece of shit about it. So, but you go to this other place, and that's what I had to figure out in my life, right? But that's what I'm talking about. And then as I went to this other place, I get to a vibrational level, and then something else took over. And that's not a way to like try to abdicate myself from anything that I did or say that I'm not responsible. That's probably not the right word, that I'm not responsible for my actions. That's not what I'm saying. I'm still totally responsible because I was there unconscious, but it was like this way to just excuse it and to justify it to myself in my mind, to lie to myself and just to do it. Like I was telling you before, people lie to themselves. So I was at that level. And then when you were saying about before, you've never experienced anything like that in your life. It could just be that the different trauma you went through just affected you in a different way, and it didn't allow you to get to that vibrational state. So you don't have to worry about that, but you could still be vulnerable to whatever, you know, because of what, I'm not trying to say you're like impervious, but you probably are because you're pretty, pretty dope. But yeah, I think that's more along the lines of how this happens. And I think the reason I say it's internal and the reason I say you're still responsible is because at the end of the day, there's still a choice. You're still making that choice to do it. And it's an internal thing where you're letting it happen. And like you were saying earlier, when we were talking about occult, where there's things hidden in plain sight, where these quote unquote controllers, the they that we speak of, it appears that they like to let people know what they're doing because they write about it and they put it out there. You know, small example, just Google event 201 and it'll blow your mind. Okay, watch what that's all about. It has something to do with a current situation that's going on right now, and it happened in 2019. It'll blow your mind. But anyway, so it's this revelation of method that they speak of. It's the apocalypse that came up in the movie. In the movie, the killer wrote like apocalypse 12:8 or something. And so the guy asks the nun, what does apocalypse mean? And she's like, apocalypse means great revelation. And he's like, the book of Revelations? And she's like, yeah, it could be that. Revelations. They're letting you know what's going to happen before it happens or as it does. So if that's another thing about vibrational level, if you're at that level, you can see that stuff. Anyway, Sharon?
All that you were saying triggered so many thoughts. So I'll just try to start with something. When you were talking about, it made me think of, if I can't see something, perhaps it's the way James True talks about your amygdala not allowing you to see something because for whatever reason, whether it was when you were young, you either saw something really either traumatic or something happened where your amygdala basically said, yeah, we're not doing that again. We're not opening up again. And you're never going to see the spider monster in the sky ever again. You're just going to think everything is just perfect because you're not going to see all those like scary things in the world or whatnot. Could it be? But the other thing you were saying about the whole splitting of the psyche or the whatever it is into multiple personalities. I think you had mentioned that Michael Tesserion talks about that. And it made me think of just all these other concepts that other people have talked about. Crow recently interviewed somebody, a guy named Mohammed from Morocco, and he spoke Arabic. So he was asking him questions about, you know, the occult in Arabic culture and as it applies to Sufism, I guess is what he called it. And he said that in that, what would you call it? It's not religion or I don't know. It's a practice, whatever. They called this aspect of what he says is like Carl Jung calls the shadow. He says that in Arabic, they call it the Qareen, or in English, you would say Qareen or whatever, however you would pronounce it. It just made me wonder, how does that all tie in? How does this shadow, these split personalities of the psyche, when things like that happen to us at a young age that are traumatic, and it does, you know, does it really split our psyche so that, because then that explains, I would think that explains a little bit of the demon aspect where you can say, well, these are your demons. Not that, you know, not to make anybody feel bad, but it's just that it's just a word we're using to classify what we're trying to talk about. But it's basically, it's your split personalities. And could it be that when you're aware of, or when you're in a place where that particular personality is acting out, that it may present itself as a potentially look like in our minds, and we hallucinate a demon entity because we don't know what else to call it. We don't know what else to label it. So we create that in our minds as what this thing is. So I'll let you speak because I'm just
oversharing.
and oversharing.
No, I'm picking on you, of course. Yeah, so I think there's a couple different things. First is with the shadow, there's Michael Tesserion talks about he believes it seems that there was some kind of traumatic event that happened in human history where, you know, think of like a cataclysmic event where there was like a bottleneck where only maybe a couple thousand humans exist, you know, survived it. And then from there, the rest of the humans branched out. So if it was a time of, you know, people talk about a flood, meteors, whatever the heck that was, whatever, if there was some kind of reset where things were really crazy for a while and people had to do nuts and insane things to exist, maybe go underground in caves. I mean, you know, all these stories you hear. It's quite possible that because of that, there was this event that everybody who's alive now is related to somebody who experienced it, and it's passed down trauma. So that's something that's collective.
Like epigenetics.
Yeah. And again, going back to what you said with the words, I don't know exactly, like, I don't know if there's like parts of the brain and it like split. I don't, you know, I'm just, these are again, just words to label of understanding. And a lot of people have talked about this. So that's why we use these terms. And it goes back into like Jungian analytics and like all this psychoanalysis stuff. So we'll use those terms because that's what most people are familiar with. But just so people know, we're not like hardcore on this stuff. Like, exactly. So people, and then, so we have that going on. So that's a collective shadow. That's what's going on with with everybody. Now there's some people are more aware and there's a vast scale of it, but you could make a claim that probably there's a way to get a bunch of people to do something if you were aware of this and you can manipulate it through fear, like you were saying earlier. Again, it's still those people's fault because they have free will and they could choose to stand up and not fight that fear. And people do it every day. I mean, stand up and fight the fear.
Right.
People do it, just not in the society right now. It doesn't seem like the majority of people do it, but whatever. Anyway, so that's that. And then you get the second part where I was talking about before with the individual trauma, right? So then something happens to you as a person when you're younger, and most everybody experiences some form of trauma. A lot of people aren't aware of it, but a lot of it has to do with just, you know, your parents putting you in school or whatever it was. It's just the way society is. I feel that that's another reason why people are like, oh, we're controlled, because society is set up in such a way to create people who manifest the behavior of slaves, to be dependent on exterior sources for validation, to work for somebody else for a paycheck and all stuff. And again, these aren't judgments. We all do it, but they're just observations, right? So at the end of the day, we could not all be slaves tomorrow if we wanted to, but we just have to figure out a new way to do it, and slowly. And that's what these videos are about. But anyway, so going back to, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I have one final question or one final thought, but if you wanted to finish up with that first, then I can ask you, or we can speculate on one more topic. And it should be a very long
one. No, go ahead. You go ahead and ask your question. I was just talking about that's where, you know, that's kind of like the place setting for where we're at. And then that's where the work is. You do it individually. And then as we heal individually, it gets healed in the collective. So it's like the inverse of that is, hey, we're going to elect one person that's going to save the whole world or save our whole country or save all of us. Or we could do the work inside, heal the wounds from the trauma, whatever it is, the split, figure it out, become the master of our own minds. And then as we do it, people see that. And then they want to, not everybody, like we said in the beginning, woke rape. Some people are going to be like, wow, what the fuck are Brandon and Sharon doing? I want to do it too. And then they start to figure it out in their own way. There is no one way. There are many paths to the mountaintop, right? So we just become.
Hold on.
So I just got disconnected. My internet went off. But anyway, what I was talking about was basically, so instead of electing somebody else to go do it for everybody, it's like, you know, it's an individual process. And as you do, other people see it, and then it just spreads. And that's how I see the future going. So that's why I'm excited, because we already won. So I'm not even worried. It just depends on your point of view. And I'll say this again, I say it all the time, and I love it. And it's like, just like the battles in the Civil War that we are taught about, that allegedly, that after they signed the treaty and the war was over, there's these battles that happened in like Louisiana or whatever, where these people got out in the field and LARPed and killed each other, and it didn't matter because the war was already over. So whoever won the battle, it was. And if you knew that and you got there and you had advanced knowledge that the treaty had already been signed, they would have looked at you like you were crazy. And if you went out on that battlefield to stop them, they would have shot and killed you probably. So it's like, what do? You save who you can. You know, guys, come on, let's get the fuck out of here. We already won.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
So the last thought that we can probably end with is this concept of, because we talked about the, you know, the evil entities and demons and things like that, but what are the spirit guides and things like archangels and guardian angels? Because, you know, in the world that we, or I should say in the, I guess in the community that we're in, and some people would call it the New Age, but you know, I don't call it anything. I don't have any name for it, but anyway, they say things like, you know, we call on our spirit guides and, you know, to lead us and guide us and things like that. What do you think those might be?
That's a great question. Well, I could say just as there are entities that want to exist in this realm and get into your body and do all kinds of crazy things, maybe that's how you can look at it. There are also entities that would want to assist you along the way for whatever reason. So a lot of people look at this as some kind of dojo or some kind of realm where we have to overcome our desires, overcome certain aspects that we're born with. Maybe it's from the trauma. Maybe we have to collectively as a species overcome this trauma, and this is how we do it. It's like a really slow process, I guess, because that's how we choose to do it. So there are other entities, though, that for whatever reason, they're on other planes of existence, and they, when you align with truth, you align with what they're all about. So for whatever reason, they will come to your aid. And it really is, again, it's an internal thing. It's about healing aspects of yourself. So what it's kind of like, you know, if you're a guy and you're trying to find a woman and you're out there, but you're looking sloppy and you're not whatever, it's not going to work. But if you're out there and you're well-groomed and you're well-spoken and you know how to talk to people and be socially acceptable and not rude and all these things, you're going to be somebody who is worth acquiring. So if you're somebody who does the work, who meditates, who actually aligns your behavior with natural law, we'll say, we'll just say it that way. Like you're on the path of Christ. If you want to put it that way, you're doing your Dharma, right? We'll just say all these different things. So everybody can relate. There could be these other forces that are like, hey, this guy needs this guy, this guy, this gal needs a help, needs a hand, needs some help, needs a little step up or whatever, a boost. And it's going to come to you because you're at this vibrational level to be able to accept it. You've done the work, you've cleaned up inside. You're trying to do whatever you do because you think it's right, not because you're trying to get attention and be noticed. You're just doing it for the sake of doing it, whatever, stuff like that. So there's just the way this works, I believe, could it be? There's forces, you can call them angels, you know, and it's that same aspect. It could just be an aspect of yourself that when you clean up and heal it, it could work in a positive way. You could be somebody who, because of trauma, you seek attention. So you go on stage with a microphone to do it and you seek all this attention and you're hilariously funny and people laugh. And then if you heal the trauma, you can then use that skill that you have for something to make your life better instead of just like an outlet for or escapism. So it's that same thing. You're just healing this aspect of yourself and it just aligns. And as you align yourself with truth and your life with what's true, you just become one with nature. Because if you go outside in the woods, it's all true, man. You know, if you step off a cliff, you're going to die. You know, a weak chick, like a bird falls out of the nest, it's going to get eaten by a predator. You know, it's just what happens. Someone feels bad and it's like, ooh, we got to have a parade or whatever. So if you align your life with that truth, you're just going to go flow with the stream of nature. And it's, like I said, that's the best way I could put into words.
And I like I like what you said. That makes some sense. And it reminds me of what our friend Michelle was telling me the other day, because she and I were chatting, and I had mentioned how because she sent me a couple of things to like meditate on and how to do a couple of these meditations that she had. And she also told me about like how to set up your aura for like protection and perhaps even, you know, I don't know, other things for setting everything up in your realm and your area for protection. And I told her, I just feel like I've always been protected though. Like and I'm not trying to say that it's not good to use those, methods to add that layer of protection around yourself. But I don't know how I was already doing that, because I have come to places where I have just near missed an accident multiple times where it could have been really bad, a really bad accident. Times where like I did leave my garage door open and I didn't notice. I like literally went to work, came back, and like everything was there. Like the garage was open and everything was there. Nobody had touched anything. I mean, so it's just like there's some level of protection that was there. And I didn't know how to explain it. I still don't know how to explain it, but I like what you said about it.
Well, it could be that you're also manifesting this level of protection in your life yourself, because, you know, for me, when I was younger, I probably was in a place where I didn't feel protected and safe. And so that's why I was able to know that it was possible. So then for me going forward, every future scenario where it could get a little shady, I'm like, oh no, this could happen, you know, where I'd have that loop where maybe you didn't have that installed. So you're just like, oh, it's going to be safe. I'm going to be fine, because those were all your past experiences. And because of that, you're in an upward spiral of positive motion, because you're have that belief that you're going to be okay. So it's, you're like, I'm going to be okay. And you are just okay. It's fucking great. It's like a positive affirmation.
I always felt that way. I always felt that everything was going to be okay. And I didn't know why, but I just always did.
Nice. That's awesome. I think that's a great place to end it for today. What do you think?
I like it. Yeah. I agree.
Awesome. All right, everyone. You concur. That's great. Everybody, well, if you want to hear more, see more, to get in contact with us, my website is morelawsmoreproblems.com. And my email is brandon@comedylol.com. And comedylol.com is up and running. So if you want to go check out old episodes of all my podcasts and the terrible podcast. And oh, I also want to give a shout out to Michelle, because you mentioned her name. And she was on the terrible podcast, and she's going to be coming back shortly. So check her out. It's on our YouTube, or aterrible.com. You could listen to that episode. It's a really good one. And anything else before we go?
And remember, if you're not over Sharon, you're not Karen.
That's right, everybody. Bye.